Ah, yes. Ah, yes. It's a wonderful night for a show. Yes, you're very lucky tonight. What we've got for you, contrary to what you may have been told, there is no female mud wrestling at this show. However, we do have a wide variety of acts for you this evening, including some that are actually involved talent. You may also notice the talent scouts in the audience. Don't be alarmed. They are checking for talent. They figure that if Norwegian Lutherans will laugh at it, anybody will. Our first act this evening is Dwayne Daler, Take a Pew. Dwayne, take it away.
About 25 years ago, a young, talented musician who had just graduated from Cambridge University was making his first stage debut. He and Peter Cook and a couple of other fellows had put together a musical review called Beyond the Fringe. He was trained as a classic pianist. You know him as an actor. His name was Dudley Moore. And he did this as part of the musical review. It is called Take a Pew. My apologies to Mr. Moore. From the seventh chapter, from the seventh verse of the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, my brother Esau is an hairy man, but I am a smooth man. And my brother Esau is an hairy man, but I am a smooth man. To paraphrase that is to say the same thing in another way. I would like to read to you from that grand Old Testament prophet Nehemiah, Nehemiah 4:16. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, Lo, I see the children of Bebai, numbering 673, and I see the children of Asgad, numbering 1,474. There comes a time in the lives of each and every one of us when we seek the solitude and tranquility of our own firesides. We put up our feet, we put on our slippers, and we sit and stare into the fire. I wonder at times such as these, if your heart turns as mine does to those words I just read you now. We human beings are funny creatures. We never have time. We never have a moment to spare. We never have time for contemplation. We never have time for meditation. But here tonight, we do have time. Time to look back over the road of cares of our life. Time to look at the score, at the debits and credits. Time to touch up the ledger of life. Now, maybe the debits are more than the credits. Maybe we've not done as good as we might have, but never mind, because tonight we're going to begin again. I was on my way to dinner this evening, and by a most unfortunate oversight, I happened to go in the door that one is supposed to come out. And one of the workers in the dining hall yelled at me, and she said, Hey, Buster, where do you think you are going? Well, at least that was the gist of what she said. But I'm very grateful to that young woman because she put me in mind of the kind of question I want to ask you tonight. Where do you think you are going? Some years ago, when I was about as young, as old as very many of you here tonight are, a very dear friend and I decided to go mountain climbing here in Washington. And there was this great big mountain, you see, and so we decided to climb it. And we got up very early in the morning, and all day we climbed up and up and up, higher and higher and higher, until at last the village and the valley lay very small below us. And the mist slowly began to encircle the mountain. And it was such a magnificent and moving sight. And we climbed on up to the summit, and we sat there and we watched the sun go down, down, down. And then my friend turned to me, and very suddenly and very violently, he vomited. Now, some people think life's like that. But it isn't, you know. Life is more like a sardine tin, with each of us looking for the key. And some of us think we've found the key, you know. And so we roll back the lid of the sardine tin, and behold, there are the sardines, the riches of life. And we get them out. We partake the riches of life. We enjoy them. But you know, there's always a little piece in the corner that you can't quite get. I wonder, is there a little piece in the corner of your life? I know there is in mine. So now I draw to a close. I want you, in times of tribulation and turmoil, in times of temptation and trouble, I want you in times when you're tempted to throw up your hands and just say, oh, stop it, I'm done with it. I want you in times when you go out to face the rigors of the world. I want you in times like those to turn your hearts for comfort to those words I first read you this evening. My brother Esau is an hairy man, but I am a smooth man.
Ah, yes, thank you, Duane. The word from the scouts is, don't call them, they'll call you. Our next act this evening is the one I know you're going to love. Cindy, Sarah, and the OSLCs, and don't ask me what that means.
Our trip to Holden actually started 2 years ago when Pastors Dwayne Daler and Mark Opran showed their Holden slides to the Congregation of Our Savior Lutheran Church, OSLC, in West Lafayette, Indiana. 25 of us actually made the long trek. During the trip, we decided to write a song to sing to Dwayne when we got here, but it ended out to be a poem. So here is our contribution to the poetry of the village. The title is Beholden to Holden, a dramatic reading.
There was a large group from OSLC
who wanted to show off their bravery.
So they got up real early.
So they wouldn't be late.
But that was Bob and Suzanne's fate.
So off to the Windy City they sped.
And past Wrigley Field they fled.
They met at the station in Chicago.
And off on the Empire Builder they did go.
Over the rivers and on to the plains.
On Fargo, on Minot, on Rugby and Shelby.
Through Haver and Cutbank and Glacier and Whitefish.
Through 7 mile tunnels where ears popped like whips.
With the moon first on one side and then on the other.
They had nothing to do but look at each other.
Good treatment at Denny's.
For very few pennies.
Off on the bus to Lake Chelan.
We want to get there as soon as we can.
At Field Point, we landed.
our party expanded.
With Ulrichs and Edwards, just as we planned it.
Up the lake we did go.
And there we saw snow.
Off of the boat and onto the bus.
Through 9 switchbanks, Nancy drove with some fuss.
We arrived at the village to quite a scene.
All Saints Federal Way was there to be seen.
A roast of Daler was what they had planned.
But we sang a song to the All Saints clan.
Several of our members got short-sheeted that night.
But All Saints had departed, so there wasn't a fight.
We all learned our new high techs for picture of feet.
Vince can tell you wet techs aren't a treat.
We went to a concert with a song about Pear.
Bet that was all that Pear could bear.
Matins and Vespers, a slideshow and hikes.
These are all things that we very much like.
The ultimate night hike with Dale, our guide.
We hope to return with our blood still inside.
The moon on the crest of the last winter snow
gave a luster of midday to Holden below.
And what to our wandering eyes should appear?
But Pastor Duane with a bottle of wine.
Deer in the village and bears on the trail.
We were just glad they weren't on our tails.
The food at the village wasn't that bad.
But a piece of pizza we wished that we had.
At talent show rehearsal, a mouse came on stage.
A gooey mousetrap was all the rage.
We wrote this poem just for fun.
But we ended up reading it for everyone. As we board the bus and drive out of sight, gentle justice to all and to all a good night. Just want you to know, Sarah's 8 and she wrote almost the whole thing.
Our week at Holden is almost over. We go back home tomorrow, so we'd like to sing a song for you.
For my next act. So, Jim, what does OSLC stand for? Do you know now? You weren't paying attention. Does anyone out there know what a minor is? Come on, this is a test. Some of you went to Gary Bannister's session and probably thought you all know all about what a minor is, but now in this new century, we have a different definition of minor, and you're about to discover. The Holden Miners have not one, but 2 pieces of talent for you tonight with their leader, Nancy Wilkinson. Where are you? Oh, there they are.
Couple of rolls. Here's my arms. I find me a girl who waits for me. I catch a ship across the sea. I sail that ship all alone till the day I make it home. I say,
sail away, whoa, me gonna go.
Three nights and days, me sail the ship. Me thank God, girl, constantly on that ship. Me dream she there and smell the rose in her hair. I say, I sail Jamaica and to the coast and talk along until I see my love. I take her in my arms again and tell her I'll never leave again. I say,
blue is the white, oh, we gotta go. I said, we gotta go now.
Ah, yes, this is almost as good as tofu stroganoff, huh? And no aftertaste, either. Yeah. Well, our next act is setting up here. This is the Holden Express Comedy Act from Seattle in Marina, Minnesota, wherever that is. Hey, hey. It's all right.
No train going west today. No train going.
guess it's okay to cross the track.
So does anybody know any good jokes? That's what you're supposed to do when you're an MC, right? Actually, I know a good one. It's a knock-knock joke. Dale, you start.
Knock-knock.
Who's there? I don't know what a rap tree minus one is, but we're soon about to find out. Think about that joke for a while, Dale. You'll get it.
Anybody know any jokes? Curtains are nice. This is the day the Lord hath made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
No.
Wait a minute. Now, do you guys remember when Elmer Witt does this, you guys all say, you know, let us rejoice and be glad in it? Picture us as Elmer. All right. Try again. This is the day
the Lord hath made.
I can dig that.
Once upon a time, not long ago, I heard a funky beat up on my radio. It told me about life and how it should be. It told me about a place called Holden in Missouri.
Now, you might think Missouri, but it's the only thing that rhymes. Holden is a place where you should be, looking at the streams and the trees that say there's beauty shining all around. It's God's gift to this little town. We work all day in a very hot place, serving our food to the human race. And we start real early and we finish so late, never have time to escape. Or wait, try. That's where our rap comes into play. We use this rhythm at the end of the day to relieve our tensions and cool our souls. Let us go on. Rush your tones. Rush our tones. Get it. Good.
coffee cups are never returned. It is a problem to those who yearn coffee every day. They do display problems and hostilities that break our day. So return your cups under the sign and keep us happy in our coffee.
On
time. Time. Coffee on time. Hey. Hey. We can do it.
Okay.
I wanted to assure everybody that they did wash their hands before performing that act. Seriously, though, guys, Mr. Spock just called and they're ready to beam you up. On a more serious note, Our next act is Andy Kelly, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Andy, and a little guitar. Andy?
Those of you who can read my hat are going to see a word on there that is very unfamiliar to you. The word "the" you probably have seen. Grace is perhaps familiar to you. And church probably has been in your vocabulary. The word that may be puzzling you a bit is the word Baptist. I feel a little unusual in this crowd. I've had the fortune of ministering with a group of people in San Jose, California for a number of years, and the name of that church is the Grace Baptist Church. And this is a song that I wrote a few years ago as a kind of a love song for that church. I've heard love songs about just about everything else, and I had never heard one for a church, and so I felt it was time that the world have one of those around. But one of the gifts of this was that I wrote it to the people of Grace. And I think all of you have known in your life and in your experience somewhere people of Grace. So if any of this resonates with you, I invite you to take this as your love song as well for the people of Grace. Companions, my guardians, my friends, and my guides. My courage in struggle, my comfort in sorrow, the hand of the Lord at my side. They keep me moving onward. They lift me when I fall. The people share a dream and a vision. They follow the way of God's call. Well, the people of Grace come in all shapes and sizes, a ragbag of unlikely parts. Yet each bears a gift in her soul and her being, a name written deep in his heart. Each one has a part to play. Each one has a place. Each has a word in the eternal telling, the story of mercy and grace. The people of Grace haven't got all the answers, nor do they think that they should. For life is a mystery learned only in living, a gift that is wondrous and good. There are times we will stumble, there are times when we only can plod. But the people of Grace needn't fear for the future. It stands in the shadow of God. People of Grace, you have been my companions, my brothers and sisters are you. With bread for the journey and wine for rejoicing, we've all that we need to get through. For God works in and through us in ways that we never have known. As the people of Grace and the people of loving, together we'll find our way home. Oh, you people of Grace, you people of loving, our journey is leading us home.
you thought that was talent. Well, some of you out there, I'm sure, don't think that I'm very talented myself, but there is something I can do, and I was concerned about the quality of talent in this show, so I brought along something that I can do to share with you just in this brief intermission time. One moment, please. This will be a dramatic reading from the Minneapolis phone book. Johnson, Richard O., 434-5284. Johnson, Richard P., 781-4332. Johnson, Richard Paul. This is Minneapolis, remember. Next on the agenda is Doug Strike and Cindy Modlin.
My friend Cindy, who will be joining me shortly, and I are going to present a short little skit about a common problem that affects many of us men, namely losing our hair. Now, I'm not going to advocate that we make this into a social issue of great import, because it's not likely to happen, although it wouldn't bother me one bit if we took some of our defense budget dollars and put them into hair research, for example. And the point of this skit is not so much to talk about the hair or lack thereof, as much as to get people to think about situations in their own life to which they might have reacted with some undue distress or anything that could be construed as being less dignified than our usual approach to problems. Now, losing my hair didn't much until I had to watch walking out in the sun without a hat, without frying my hide, or hearing a range of bald jokes, which I won't get into because we certainly don't have time for all the variations on that, or being mistaken when I was 24 as being 47. Now, there's nothing wrong with being mature, but I prefer to do it a bit more slowly and not all at once. Now, to set the scene for our skit here, and by the way, some of you younger men and boys might be thinking, ha, this will never happen to me, but I tell you, your chromosomes might pull a fast one on you, too. Now, at any rate, I did become perturbed about some of these things and the reactions to people about my hair or lack thereof, and I guess I did succumb to the sin of vanity a little bit, and then maybe a little bit more, and began praying earnestly about the matter. And at my worst vain moments, I began to pray for hair to appear. Yes, I do believe in miracles. But at any rate, I prayed earnestly, and as you can see, nothing happened. But I think God listens to all prayers, no matter how inane or mundane, because God has created the mundane too in creation. But anyway, one night, an angel of the Lord appeared to me, and the interaction went something like this.
Behold! Don't you know who I am?
Well, not really. Would you have an American Express card with your name on it?
I am an angel of the Lord.
I beg your pardon.
Another critic, just what I need. Nonetheless, I understand that you have been sending up frequent requests to the Lord about some material matters. I'm here to get the scoop.
Oh, that's right.
Let's get right to the point. I have three other appearances to make tonight, plus I have to get back to hear a lecture by Augustine on something theological. Probably too heavy for me. Sometimes I find that stuff dreadfully convoluted. Just between you and me, I do love the man dearly, but at times he can drone on and on. I might try to get out of it, but I promised Teresa of Avila that I'd go with her.
Wait a minute. Are you sure that you're an angel?
Oh, I suppose you're another one of those people that are into white robes and lights and wings and all of that, but have you ever tried fitting wings into an economy car?
Well, no, I can't say that I have.
Well, I prefer to wear jeans and tennis shoes. But anyway, enough about me. What can I help you with?
Well, actually, I'm in the market for some hair.
What? And for this? I worked on my day off. At least you could ask for nuclear disarmament or world peace or something, but even the most addle-brained Miss America finalist knows to bring up those subjects.
Well, this isn't like a practical joke. I'm serious about this.
Oh, very well. What do you want some hair for?
Well, it should be rather obvious. I presume you're wearing those glasses to cut down a glare. But anyway, I've got an argument already here. And let's see, number one, the body is the temple of the Lord, and I think any body or any temple should have an adequate roof.
Cut the scriptural references. Anyway, I don't think I can help you. That was easy. Cross that off my
list. Hey, wait a minute. Why can't you help me?
Can't change natural law. You're a victim of genetics. Not my department.
Hey, wait a minute. You can't leave. I'm still upset about this.
Not my problem. You want to get upset? It's your blood pressure. Ain't no skin off my nose.
Well, wait a minute. Here. Well, you don't appear to have any skin on your nose.
Well, I don't really have a nose either. I just assumed this shape so that you could perceive me. I could have taken any form that I wanted.
Ooh, really? Oh, go away. Go away and come back to somebody interesting, like, Meryl Streep.
I don't do requests. I merely accept requests and relay them to the god upstairs. That's my job. You think Federal Express is busy, my fellow angels, and I make round trip to heaven every day with only 2 weeks vacation.
Yes,
and the volume is heavier on weekend holidays.
Well,
and
I know,
buy our old sneakers. I told them they should have formed a union.
Well, this is all somewhat interesting, but what about my...
You, I don't think I can help you.
Well, I don't really need to have you do it. I mean, you could tell God, and I'm sure God can handle it. I mean, after all, aren't the hairs on our head supposed to be numbers?
Of course. If that's all you want, I can tell you how many of yours should be there, but aren't.
No! That won't be necessary. I'm not interested at all.
Well, I must be getting back to heaven. I'm in charge of social events this month, you know?
Social events? Don't you angels like sit in heaven and sing all day?
Oh, my, no. If I just sit around and listen to some of those sage souls sing all day for days on end, well, personally, I begin to wonder if maybe I hadn't gone to the wrong place. There are infinite ways to express happiness and eternal bliss. Singing is not everyone's bag, but everyone in heaven likes to party, so we have a social director, and I happen to be it.
Well, this is all still somewhat interesting, but what about my hair?
You're still stuck on that?
Well, if only more would stick on me. Well, maybe we could make a trade.
Bargains are out of the question.
Well, no. Not like a full bargain, but I was thinking more like a rearrangement. I mean, look, I've got some hair on my toes I'm not using.
I don't have authorization to do even that, even if I could. What are you complaining about? Think of all the money you'll save on shampoo and haircuts that you can contribute to the church.
Well, I'm hardly impressed with that.
Look at it this way. Samson wouldn't have had near the trouble he did if he would have looked like you to begin with.
Well, I'm hardly comforted by that. Look, it gets mighty cold up here in January and February.
Weather is not my department either. So long.
Wait a minute. Come back here. Maybe you could arrange it so I could win like the lottery or something so I could afford to buy some hair.
Don't be silly. I couldn't rig a contest like that. Maybe a church bingo game, but not a lottery.
Oh, I'm being punished. This must be it.
Oh, relax. Another 50 years, which is a drop in the bucket compared to the speaking. In 50 years, you'll be so old, who will care about whether you have any hair or not? If you're lucky, you might even be dead. And everything about you will be dust anyway.
Oh, now that I'm totally depressed.
Cheer up. Things aren't so bad. Everybody has something about themselves they'd like to change. And remember, you're responsible only for the gifts that you have, not those that you don't have. I really really must go. I'm in charge of the soccer game today.
Soccer game?
A group of 11th century Benedictine monks are going up against some of the under 20th century Sisters of St. Francis. Everyone's psyched for the match. You ought to hear Martin Luther in the stand why you think he loses at the roller derby the way he carries on. Well, I'm out of here, kids.
And with that, the angel was gone, leaving me with no hair, but a better feeling. And I suppose of the two, I did get the better deal.
I want y'all to know that Doug wrote that all by himself.
Holy smokes, the preacher shouted. In his fright, he lost his hair. Now his head resembles heaven, for there is no parting there.
You gotta love that Minnesota humor. Speaking of which, just when you thought you got out of Minnesota, excepting those Hoosiers out there, look who's coming through that door. Yes, it's some visitors from the little town that time forgot that the decades could not improve, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average. Here's the Lake Wobegon Choir with Pastor Inkvest. I think Father Emil couldn't make it.
Remember us, with the way you're calling the Lord. by Powder Milk Biscuits. However, for the most part, it's brought to you by Ralph's Pretty Good Grocery. Actually, Ralph sold the grocery a couple of years ago to Dan, and it's presently called Dan's Great Grocery because of all the wonderful things Dan has done for us. However, have you ever noticed with real estate when someone has lived on the property for many, many years and they sell it, the next owner does really not have his name on that property. He has to earn that right. Oh, the Johnsons, yeah, they're on the Smith property. Well, it takes many years to accumulate this, and so a lot of people don't realize that Ralph's Pretty Good Grocery is really Dan's Great Grocery. And it's been a slow summer, so we need to stop down and give him a little help. Speaking about slow, things were very quiet this past week in Lake Wobegon, my hometown. It seems that the Lutherans and their minister left town for what they called a retreat. The departure, however, left quite a stir with the remaining Lutherans and non-Lutherans as to what was happening. For people come to Lake Wobegon for a retreat, a vacation, or a hideaway. So what was the real reason for the Lutherans and the minister to be leaving town? I think we should plan a fall forum when the Lutherans and the minister return so that they can discuss this with the remaining Lutherans and non-Lutherans so that they can feel whole, because this is a very small town and people do talk. Our Lutheran church in Lake Wobegon is very special. It's the only church. We have many non-Lutherans at our church for a couple of very good reasons. When the non-Lutherans are up late on Saturday night, and the bell rings right across the road from them on Sunday morning, it's a lot easier to get up and go across the street to our Lutheran church than drive 10 miles south to the nearest Catholic, Methodist, or Protestant church. So we never discuss who's Lutheran and not Lutheran, because the non-Lutherans aren't going to say anything because they want to go to the coffee hour. Also, if they hide it long enough, there's one other great benefit in not joining the church, in that you don't get that funny little box at the end of the year with the offering envelopes. I know about this personally because I was a non-Lutheran for about 4 years, and I thought I hid it very well. However, someone informed me that it was my genuflecting that gave it away. One of the members of our church is so into God that he belongs to three other churches. This could be another topic of conversation for a forum in the fall. At any rate, the Lutherans are not dumb. And I figured that something else was happening besides leaving town for a retreat. I knew there was reason for the madness. And finally, it came to mind what the real reasons were for leaving Lake Wobegon. Road construction and sewers. Yes, men and equipment invaded our quaint little historic Lake Wobegon on the banks of the St. Croix River and turned it into one big dirt ball. Now, everyone has dealt with this a little differently. The employees in downtown Lake Wobegon had to leave and find other work for the summer because there just isn't any tourist traffic. And hopefully all three of them will return this fall when the roads have been paved. Others have chosen to stay indoors for the summer and seal tightly the doors and the windows. And we hope to speak to them when the first snow flies and find out how well the oxygen held out. The Lutherans aren't dumb. They left town, and this is the excuse they used going on a retreat. Minister isn't dumb either. The minister was leaving town for 2 Sundays. And he figured that the only way for he and the rest of the congregation to be welcomed back with open arms was to have 2 poor speakers at each of the 2 sermons speak with very poor topics. So he asked the ex-junior choir director and a senior citizen to each respectively in those 2 Sundays, part 1 and part 2, to speak about moral indignation and middle-class psychology. He felt he was covered. And we won't know until next Tuesday when the Lutherans and the minister return to Lake Wobegon. And if just one person is standing there waiting for them with open arms in Lake Wobegon, that's all it takes. The minister and the Lutherans will know they have been well received. And that person could be a male or a female, any height or age or size. And if there is no one standing there, a friendly dog would do to let them know they are well received and welcome back. And the dog could be male or female, any size, limping. But if no dog is there, the Lutherans are in trouble. And the Lutherans and the minister are going to have to get back on the bus, and they're going to have to go to the nearest grocery store and get some Edie's ice cream. For it is well known that when one eats Edie's ice cream, one laughs, sings, and dances in the streets. And at that point in time, the Lutherans are going to need all the help they can get. So the fall forums are well planned. They have many topics for discussion, to leave or not to leave Lake Wobegon for a retreat. The real reasons for leaving Lake Wobegon to be shared with the Lutherans and non-Lutherans. How early does one have to get up on Sunday morning to attend 4 churches? And do the Lutherans, upon eating Edie's ice cream, laugh, sing, and dance in the streets? Well, that's the news from Marine on St. Croix, where the... Come on! Where the women are strong, the men are good-looking, and the children are above average. I'd like to thank the gentleman that gave me the shirt off his back, and if you would like to meet in my chalet, number 7, after the talent show.
Well, have you had enough of Minnesota yet? I think it's only appropriate that we follow up those last 2 acts with Tian and the Hoosier Hosiery Hurlers. Say that one 5 times fast. Come on, say it. Hoosier Hosiery Hurlers. Hoosier Hosiery Hurlers. Anyway, here they are.
Fine. You lucky people, you're really in luck. For tonight is the premiere performance of the Hoosier Hosiery Hurlers. All of you, try saying that together. Hoosier Hosiery Hurlers. Now I'll let you in on a little secret. Because most acts, you know, they build up to a crescendo, but I'm going to let you in advance of the grand finale, where they are going to juggle 11 socks at once. So just keep this in mind, as this program progresses, what we have in mind for you. Now, the star of the show is Twinkling, Twirling Tian. Yes, I'll give her a big hand. Bring her out. See, here she begins. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. You see, she began juggling, six months ago, and now she's really great. She's really good. 1, 2, 3 balls going all at once. Ah, that's her father cutting in on her. Ah, he's good too. Ah, that you should learn. See, he should learn thou shalt not steal. Yeah, because then, there. He's great too. Because Tian taught her, Twinkly Tian, oh, that was marvelous, Mark, there, the father. And now here, he. Oh, that's the problem. It's always good to have a reason. And now for dropping things, because all the goas up must come down. Then when after Tian learned and she instructed her father, well, then she moves on to the rings. Now watch. She juggles not one ring, not two, but three. It is difficult to drop something, but to pick it up with grace, oh, she's good. She's really good. Thank you. Thank you, Twinkling Tian. Thank you, Tian. And now here we have Vince, the prince of the House of Guido. Oh, another one of Twinkling Tian's star performance and pupils. Oh, thank you, Vince. Oh, more. Keep. Oh, good. Give the boys a hand and bring on Roberto the Esperto. Ah, in a duet. A duet. Los dos. 1, 2, 3, together, friends, amigos. Oh, dear, but with more practice, they could be even better. I've heard that practice makes perfect, but perfection, they wouldn't be nearly as much fun. Oh, it's the blinding lights. They're not used to all this publicity. They're great stars, you know. Thank you, thank you. Wonderful, thank you, thank you, thank you. Ah, now, I think, oh, good. Oh, here, he's Roberto the Esperto. He is going to juggle with a coffee. Juggle a cup, a coffee cup, and all at once, isn't he? Look there, with both hands juggling a coffee cup. Oh, keep going. Ah, I guess we're going to have to buy a filter now. Now is the time. I think the moment. Let's build up to a great crescendo. Now I need volunteers who will come with socks. Volunteers? Any volunteers? Please come forward. Bring your socks, because then they will juggle them. They will juggle them. Need the socks. If you want to know why I only have one pair to juggle, there's only one pair of size 15s. In clean ones in the village. Ah, oh, thank you. Oh, what a wonderful response. A dramatic response. Isn't it wonderful that all these people were here with socks? With all these people with socks? Oh, thank you. Oh, let's work on this. 1, 2, 3. The lights turned down just a little bit, and then dim the lights. This is it. Are you ready? Are you all ready for this? I hope you're ready. Are you ready? That's equally important. Now dim the lights, and then it'll work up to a crescendo. Dim the lights, please. Down. Oh, come on. Up with the lights. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Look, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Oh, all in the air, all at once.
And you thought folks from Indiana had no talent, right? Seriously, the scouts have told me they want to book you in Vegas next week as the lead-in for Barry Manilow. We'd like to welcome some new guests. Our next act is Nancy and the TT Quartet. Nancy, one of our many.
Thank you.
brings tears to your eyes, doesn't it? It did to mine. Now comes that moment in every show when we have to look up behind you and give a big round of applause for Ellen on the lights, and you'll have to introduce yourself up there on the switches. Who is that fine young man? What? Matt. Matt and Ellen, give them a big round of applause. Very important, those people who do those behind-the-scenes things. Now we have some real talent, Steve and Nancy.
And Gary?
Steve, Nancy, and Gary.
Yes, you notice we save our best material to the last, right? Well, despite what you might have heard, we're not going to have the West Preeb look-alike contest tonight. Instead, we thought we'd bring you the real thing, an encore presentation dedicated to John and Mary Schramm of the Dead Dying Soldier. Yes, it's a winner. Wes!
Yes, I'm going to play the part of the dead and dying soldier tonight, acted by Florence Nightingale. Florence Nightingale went to the Crimea, and it was a crime, too. So tonight, in honor of her and all the nurses, we are going to present this show. I was an actor once. I broke my arm, and they put me in a cast. Play both the part of Florence and the dead and dying soldier. Yeah.